Thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Monaco Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. And by being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
So we just had the 2024 Monaco Grand Prix, one of the oldest ones on the track, one of the most historical, which is probably the reason it's still on the calendar. Not a lot of overtaking that we see during this weekend, but it's all about qualifying.
For sure. Overtaking impossible at Monaco at the best of times, and just even harder given the size of these. Are these the biggest ever Formula One cars?
They're not the widest, but they're the longest.
They're the longest.
Yeah, the 2009 car was wider. It was like 2.10 meters at the front.
Yeah.
So these are not quite as wide as that, but they are much longer because they got to accommodate the powertrain, the hybrid.
I mean, roll out all the cliches that we've probably said in the podcast over the past 2 years about Monaco, holding a bike race in your living room. What are some of the other ones? Like, you can go around the Lowe's hairpin faster on a moped than you can in a Formula One car. I don't know what some of the other ones
all
are.
All apply.
Overtaking is impossible. It's hard in a lot of places, but impossible at Monaco.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's cool.
It's cool. I mean, yeah, everything that surrounds Monaco, the money, the flash, the occasion, the history.
Yeah, it's one that you've really got to go to fully enjoy, I'm sure, right? Because when you go to a race, you're just watching the race that's in front of you. And yeah, there's overtakes on other parts of the track, but action is very limited in front of you, unless you're sitting in a really, really prime spot. So being there would be cool. It's not the most entertaining race to watch on TV.
Yes. Yeah. And then that starts the conversations year after year. Should we still have it? You know, what does it bring to the calendar?
Should. And a lot. So there.
it sounds almost religious to you, Nick. Like, it's like heresy even bringing up these questions.
Stop it, Martin. No, I mean, it was the first race I ever saw. The 1985 Monaco Grand Prix. Showing my age there. But yeah, I think I was like 7, I guess.
Right.
Long, long time ago.
What happened in 1985? Is that...
I can't remember. Senna was in the JPM Lotus. It was Mansell and Rosberg at Williams.
Prost?
I can't remember who else was there. Prost would have been at... I think it was a Ferrari.
I was going to say it could have been Ferrari, yeah. Anywho, but those were the days. But yeah, this particular installment, all about qualifying, right? And
we had a crazy one.
I mean, yeah, that's where the majority of the action took place on the weekend for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly going a lot faster in qualifying than they are in the race, especially, with the tires and everything. But they were down to like a minute and 10, the one minute tens. When you think back to, I think Jenson Button was doing the show and whoever was doing, I think it was Crofty was doing the commentary. Crofty was doing the commentary with him and he was like, yeah, yours was a 1:14.9 and it was a mega lap. And these guys are now 4 seconds, full 4 seconds faster.
Go for it.
Yeah, they worry about getting, sometimes they can't get the race in, right? They have to shorten the race because of the 2 hour window, because the cars are so slow, but I guess they're able to get around quicker.
I think Mark was saying that they were going over a full second faster than the fastest or the pole position lap of last year in practice. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're fast. I mean, this is the only race on the calendar as well that isn't 300 kilometers long. 300 kilometers right, yeah. plus one lap is the normal race distance. I think this is like 260 or something.
Yeah, they have to wind it in just because of the slow speeds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
All right, so let's jump into qualifying. So obviously off the jump, we had two huge guys not make it out of Q1, Checo and Alonso. I mean, Max had been struggling during all the practices leading up to qualifying. So it wasn't a huge surprise that a Red Bull car would be doing poorly, but not this poorly. I mean, that was really bad.
Yeah, he just seems to have lost something recently, Checo. Last week he crashed his car right before, and like pretend maybe there was an issue like with fixing it, but shouldn't be any excuses around here. Did he step out? I don't think so. He didn't like clip a wall or.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just slow. He was really complaining about the ride. Maybe that was in practice, but the real problem they had is, you know, the Red Bull is as good as it is because they can run it really low to the ground, and they lifted up off the ground and like in Albert Park, like in Singapore last year, and it doesn't run nearly as well. And I think they were trying to run it as low as possible. And I think Checo was saying he couldn't even see because it was that, you know, that bumpy, it was blurring his vision. So
he
just wasn't getting to grips with that car.
But that's the same for everybody, right? Including Max. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho.
But a big shock for those two guys.
Because Fernando was 0.08 of a second from pole last year, and he doesn't make it out of Q1 this year. That's a big drop off. You know, the Astons weren't really anywhere again, which is a bit of a shame for them.
Yeah. And the Haases both making it through into Q2, both of them. So that was good for them, or so we thought at the time. Lance, once again, not able to get into Q3. I don't know if he's made it into Q3 once yet this season. But both Aston Martins out before Q3 is not where they want to be right now. And he was really the only other big surprise of not making into Q3.
When do we consider it's not a surprise that Alonso and Lance aren't going through anymore? I mean, they were a top team at the beginning of last year, but then since the middle of last year, they've just seemed to have slowly dropped away. I mean, they were still in the mix at the end of last year just because of the points they got at the beginning of it, but their upgrades aren't doing anything. Other teams are moving forward. They seem to be going backwards. I don't know.
And they're now into the clutches of the RBs, right?
Yeah.
You know, are they the sixth fastest car? Alpine as well, now that they got their weight issues done, and they're getting through into the later stages of qualifying. You know, it could be a horrible slide to sort of seventh on the field. You know?
Definitely, yeah. The RBs and the Haases are coming. I mean, Aston have the points, some points in the bag already, obviously, but they're going in different directions at the moment, it seems.
Yeah. But the best part of qualifying, Charles was able to get pole once again.
Third time in a row. Yeah. And finally, without any... Well, I guess it was 2 years ago, right, when he crashed. After getting pole, he crashed and damaged the car and then couldn't even start the race. But pole again. A good omen for him.
And also, I mean, for Oscar being on the front row, Lando looked like he was on a pretty good lap, but he just kind of messed it up at the last couple turns and wasn't able to put in a good third sector. So Carlos was able to sneak into the top three spots. But, you know, Ferrari, McLaren, front two rows, Max in P6 behind George, who put in a pretty good lap. Lewis was looking pretty strong throughout the weekend, but wasn't able to put in his best time. But I mean, I guess Max was really the biggest surprise out of all of those in Q3.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Max. Yeah. Just couldn't get it going, but maybe that's good for the sport, right? That, he's not dominating as much as he has in the past few years. And yeah, Ferrari and McLaren take the top four spots.
Definitely good for people like us talking about this sport and someone else to talk about in front.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I guess that's really it from qualifying. Obviously, we found out that, I don't know if it was the next day or later that day, but the Haas had some issue. I guess the rear wing opened too much with DRS. So they were disqualified. Their qualifying times were disqualified, and they had to start from the back of the grid. So,
right.
But they were looking crazy fast. I guess I didn't mention during the first two qualifying sessions, they weren't able to put in a good final lap time to get through. Not that it would have mattered, but I guess with that extra rear wing
space. I was going to say, yeah, how much of that was that reduced downforce due to the rear wing being wide open? Obviously, Monaco is the highest downforce circuit, right? You put as much downforce on as you can. So if you can take more off by opening up that rear wing more, I guess at some point it becomes moot, but it's going to give you more performance on the straight.
Yeah, I mean, they have the regs in place for a reason, right?
Curves. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was unfortunate though, because it meant that they were at the back, right? Oh yeah, who was it who got a similar?
It was Mercedes, I feel like.
Well, they got a rear, like the rear wing was opening too much. Yeah. I don't recall.
Yeah,
I've seen situations where it's been stuck closed many times, but not opening too much is a bit of a new one on me. I don't know.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. And I wrote that two of my celebrity crushes were on the grid. I can only remember one of them. Apparently,
who are your celebrity crushes? I don't know. This was part of today's discussion.
Well, it was like one of my childhood celebrity crushes, Alexandra Daddario. I was like, what is she doing?
Definitely.
Now? All right.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah.
And who else was on there? There was Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah. She was there. One of your other ones?
Promoting her movie, probably.
She's just an awesome actress, you know. She's just cool. And then a lot of soccer players, footballers on the field, a lot of Man U guys out there after winning the FA Cup.
Wow, they move fast, right? They won the FA Cup yesterday, and they're out in Monaco today. Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Go enjoy themselves, right? Season's done. Season's over. Go have fun. Because a lot of them are going to be playing in the Euros, so they've got a week or so off before they're into training camp for the tournament.
Yeah. I partially feel happy for Mason Mount, but at the same time, still super mad that he's not still at Chelsea. But anyway, that is it for the pre-race stuff, I guess. The grid walk wasn't all that exciting this year. There's just too many people on the grid at Monaco. Martin can't do much, but he just can't even see where he's going.
I know, and it's it's now just about interviewing different celebrities rather than actually kind of chatting with the, you know, engineers on the grid and like the people who are supposed to be there. It's all now just him chatting with celebrities that he doesn't recognize.
You can tell they're feeding it into his ear. He's like, oh yeah, this celebrity is just waiting for them to tell him in his ear who it actually is he's talking to.
Ever since the cringy incident when he thought it was Patrick Mahomes, but it was like some 7 foot basketball
Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero. All right, so let's get into the race, because it was an exciting first lap. Charles obviously got a really good start. He was able to stave off Oscar, who had a little bit of a moment with Carlos coming right through turn one.
Carlos got a much better start from than Oscar, and positioned himself on the inside at Sandevot and pushed him really close to the wall, just giving Oscar just kind of enough, but not quite enough, because they touched, but it was only minimal contact.
Yeah. But lucky for Carlos, because he got a puncture because of that slight contact, and did have a moment where he locked up because of the puncture and lost a bunch of places. But before we saw that happen, there was the big moment with both of the Haases and Checo, who was obviously in the back with his poor qualifying time. And it was three guys going through, you know, a part of the track where really only one can fit through. And Kevin kind of made a late lunge on the inside.
He never
looked pretty ridiculous.
He should have, but he wasn't
he should
even
have backed
close
out of there, like 50 yards earlier than that.
Yeah.
But when you were watching the onboard, you could see Checo looking. He knew he was there.
Yeah.
You could see Checo, like, looking in the mirror again. He knew that he was there. And maybe,
but what could Checo do? Checo couldn't go left.
Nico was on the other side.
Yeah, he had a car to
No, Nico was behind. Nico wasn't involved at that point.
But I don't think Checo could have gone any further left. I don't know.
He could have gone further left.
That going up the hill there, though, it's very twisty left and right. They take it straight, but the road is not straight at all. It bends left and right. So the wall just came in, and, you know, he didn't back out. The Mahas didn't back out, and he had to move left. And
and Nico was, it was all happening in front of Nico, and you could hear him come off the power and then realize, oh, crikey, I've got to get past this because they're about to come across. And he was almost through.
Yeah, they collected him.
And it just collected him right at the end. Which is unfortunate for him, because he was just innocent bystander in all of that and got taken out, both houses out in the race.
Yeah, and you could tell in his radio afterwards, he was like, he said that was totally unnecessary, like totally talking about his own teammate. Like, there's no way that he should have gone for that there.
So Checo got clipped, I guess, on Checo's rear right.
Yeah.
He spins and hits hard into the barriers on the right hand side. Did you see the video from behind the barrier?
You got a ton of photographers
standing right on that barrier, and the car just broadsides right into that barrier. Carbon fiber exploding everywhere. It looked really dangerous.
Yeah, and one of the photographers went to the hospital, but came out like later that day, and he was fine.
He had like carbon fiber embedded in his hand or something. But I mean, it you know, we worry about the cars survive, you know, the drivers, sorry, surviving. And for sure, Checo's car did its job, right? All the bits flew off and took the energy away. It was a hard impact, but, the car was sliding. But the people, there was 10, 15 people all on that wall that dove out the way, but they couldn't get far away before
I think that's the problem. They tried to run away. They didn't just duck down.
Maybe. you're acting on instinct at that point, but it looked super scary. And like, I mean, all power to whoever constructs those Armco barriers, because it did its job too and saved their lives. Because, you know, it's not supposed to collapse, but
obviously that was like, that's an area where like spectators can't be.
Yeah,
like,
down at street level in Monaco, people aren't there. It's always just people, the photographers or the marshals. But like they're right there.
I mean, that's crazy. During the practice runs where they have like Martin Brundle right on the inside of a turn, or I think Jensen was there at one point this weekend where they're like really right up on the inside of a return when they're right there. So they're always like very, very close on this track. So
I guess there's nowhere's typically safe when you got cars coming through at, you know, 90 to 100 and whatever miles an hour. Somebody can get tipped at any point, but luckily nobody was hurt. And but it's just weird how the slight, you know, extra open wing on the Haases, put them both at the back, and then they both end up taking out Checo, and it all comes to a head. And quite rightly, they had to red flag the race because there was just bits of carbon fiber.
But before the drivers got off the track, there was another contact on the first lap.
Yeah,
with Ocon being crazy and aggressive, going, you know, that last turn right before the tunnel and crashing into his own teammate again. Oh, it's like goodness. They have magnets that pull them together, you know? It's crazy.
I mean, that move was not on.
I mean, there's no, there's almost no overtaking moves on. There's no overtaking moves on in Monaco, but yeah, it's amongst teammates, that's just like the worst you could do. And Ocon ended up taking himself out, right?
Yep. Yeah. He couldn't make the restart.
Yeah.
I mean, the car was like 4 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the tires touch like that, they just get launched, don't they? And yeah, I guess he broke something important and game over. And Gasly was like, what the hell was that? Quite rightly.
Yeah. Did Ocon get, he got, was it a 5-spot penalty for the next race? I think it said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Cause he couldn't start this race. So they're giving him the penalty next.
All right.
But no penalties for the Perez Magnussen incident. No investigation.
Yeah, which is surprising, right? Because Hülkenberg's got to be, or is it, who is it?
Magnussen's on 10 points.
They're racking up the points already. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, apparently not. They're calling it a racing incident, I suppose. So,
well, the, whatever the guy's name, the head of racing at Alpine,
Bruno Famin.
Dude. Yeah, that guy. He was, very upset talking with one of the reporters, saying that he was going to consider sitting Ocon for the next race because of this incident. I mean, I find that highly unlikely that that's really going to happen, but
put Jack Doohan wild. In.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Eh, not going to happen. The sponsors will have a word.
Yeah. Well, and that was really it for the first lap. And Carlos was lucky. So I guess they did it for like the second, what is it, safety car line, they call it or whatever. But at that point, Carlos was still in third place of the race, whatever the last timing line that they had before the red flag came out.
Well, it didn't. So, yeah. I'm not even sure. Do they do it just per lap or do they reset it? Around
it's
to,
I think it's because not everyone made it through sector one.
Right. So they just consider.
So they don't have an official classification to revert back to.
I saw Lando complaining about that, I think, you know, that, you know, Sainz got a reprieve and got back into third place. But there's no completely. Somebody's always going to gain an advantage and somebody's always going to have to take it on the chin. And there's no total fair way to do it. I mean, we talked about this before. Years ago, they would have a third car ready to go. Checo would be running back to the pits. And I guess Hülkenberg and Magnussen would rock, paper, scissors for whoever got the.
Right.
It was always given to one, whoever the number one driver is, I guess. But there's always lots of different ways you can do it. But it's always going to be considered unfair to somebody. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a Ferrari fan, so I'm a bit biased. But.
I saw it the other way.
But yeah, Carlos, a massive escape. Yeah, and that he didn't do any significant damage to his car because there definitely were sparks coming from underneath it. So maybe it was a puncture. The bottom of the car was dragging on the ground. He pulled off to the side, but clearly he was able to get back to the pits and they could fix it. So everybody took a pit stop pretty much for free. Except for Logan Sargeant, he decided to stay on his hard tires, but everybody else flipped from either mediums to hards or hards to mediums.
Yeah. Well, and from the top guys, it was just George or Max and the Mercedes guys, and then Pierre and Stroll was just outside the top 10, and they all started on medium tires.
They restarted on medium. So the top four guys went from medium to hard, and then the next Russell, Verstappen, and Hamilton went from hard to medium at the restart.
Yeah, and James Vowles was the team principal that was interviewed by Sky this weekend. He was saying it'd be pretty hard to try and make the whole race on that one tire while they had that very long delay. What was it like? It was like 45 minutes.
45 minutes, yeah.
To get everything going. So Checo wouldn't even have to run back to the pits. He could have stopped on a yacht. He wasn't that far from the pit, but where the crash was. All right. So yeah, the restart was on lap 3. Obviously Oscar had a little bit better of a start. He was able to hold Carlos easily behind. There was no challenge from Carlos behind, but Charles also had a very good restart as well, and was able to keep the lead again. Alonso made a jump on the restart, but I think that was the only other pass on that restart. It looked like we didn't see anything for the next 10 laps or so. It looked like maybe Lando was falling away from the top 3 a little bit, but then it was really kind of the top 4 guys were all fluctuating the gap in between them. They're all hovering around DRS with each other pretty much.
Yeah, not that DRS gave you the opportunity to overtake anyway.
No.
Russell on his mediums with Verstappen and Hamilton, I guess they were just managing their tire. They supposedly had the quote unquote faster tire, but they were just trying to not push it to make it to the end without any more stops. So
yeah, because you pit and that's it. You're never going to get back up. Even on fresher tires, you're not going to get back up. So it's a medium tire that's probably good for 40 laps that they're trying to stretch out for 70.
Yeah.
So George driving really slowly at which, like, about halfway, it was looking like the guys in front could actually pit and come out in front of George, but it never quite got to that.
But, you know, even Max in a Red Bull behind George driving purposefully slowly, you know, either couldn't get by or also had no desire to get by, right? Because just overtaking so hard, the risk was so high of just being out, losing points completely. The crash on the first lap, you know, gave them everybody the mandatory pit stop they needed, killed any racing, any strategy.
Just
completely destroyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, because it just meant that now no one had to pit. The only reason people pit in Monaco is because they have to, and now they didn't have to. They just So I think I think they were lapping like 1:20, like 10 seconds off the pace from qualifying.
It was nuts.
Yes, it was. And then we didn't see anything else for a while. The gap between Lando and George was 12 seconds. So at this point, he had a safety car pit stop behind him to George. So if another safety car had come out, he would have had a free stop in there. But
have they ever had a safety car at Monaco? It just doesn't seem like a track where you could even have a safety car. There's always going to be
a virtual safety car, maybe.
Debris on the track or whatever is going to be like still on the track.
Yeah, they'd probably just red flag anything at Monaco these days.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Let's see. And then another 13 laps, nothing really happened. And then Oscar, I guess, hinted that the Ferraris were driving slower up front so that Lando wouldn't be able to gain that gap over George to get the free pit stop to go on to race your tires, which they probably, also trying to make their tires last, but I guess it was just an added bonus that they weren't able to let Lando get the free stop either.
No, and it's, you know, that really
makes sense.
Impressed me about Oscar in that, because you're going through Monaco, which is like the hardest place you could ever possibly wish to drive, and he's kind of thinking about that stuff, and it makes total sense that they would do it, because if the Ferrari guys pulled away further and he could keep up and build that gap so he got that free pit stop before George, then the way that they were going to be lapping through the end of the race would have meant that George would catch, Lando would catch right up to them. Or even Piastri. Piastri could pit as well, because that's right. Got an extra little bit. And then they'd say to Lando, let Oscar through. He gets straight up to the back of the Ferraris again on a hard, on a, you know, a much fresher tire and be able to try something at least. So
yeah,
right.
Some good strategy call there by Ferrari to not make that spread in the field ahead of George. So
yeah.
But just for him to be thinking about that as he's driving around it in his second season is pretty impressive for me.
Yeah. And I mean, because of that, you know, he did have a couple of moments where like he might, if he took the chance to make that lunge, have a chance to get by Charles. But I mean, a few laps later, we got to the back markers and they just kind of ruined any fight up there at the front. I mean, Oscar was within DRS range up until that point, and then he was over 2 seconds behind Charles for pretty much for the rest of the race. At that point, Charles just kind of started pulling away, and George was going pretty fast behind as well. And then we got Lance's tire falling off, but it only rolled into the pit lane.
Oh, he was just turning in, and if it had just come off a little earlier, it would have rolled into Anthony Nogi's corner, and that could have made life interesting, because that would definitely have been a virtual safety car, at least. Yeah. While someone retrieves it, but we were deprived of that one.
Yeah,
but rightly so. I mean, it's like you don't want things like that just happening and changing the game, but I think this race needed it a little bit,
because I was rooting for it to be in the track. I'm not
gonna like to hit the wall and then bounce back into the track.
Just make something interesting happen. But I guess on lap 52, Lewis came in for a pit stop. He had a 46-plus-second gap to Yuki behind, so why not, right? Like, you could have a 10-second pit stop and still come out with plenty of time. And then Max responded to him, but because of, you know, Lewis pitting there, Max responding, that put more pressure on George, who had to stay out. Maybe if they had pit George first, but I guess then Max wouldn't have come in, because he would have had track position and might as well just make it go. And then we finally got Bottas overtaking on Logan, of course.
What was that, lap 51? That's the first overtake.
53. At least the first one that I noticed while I was taking the notes. And I guess on lap 55, Lando had finally built up a 20-second gap, and they were saying, what, the, like, 21 seconds was the, like, a safe amount of time to try and get a free pit stop at Monaco, but it never happened. They didn't.
Yeah, and it wasn't
at that point. You haven't got enough time to then put the tire to use. You don't have time to catch back up again.
But it's super marginal at that point, right? It's if you snatch a wheel nut or whatever, then you've lost positions. So then it wasn't, I mean, it was 20 seconds for like a lap. And then the Ferraris, I think, kind of realized there was a bit more of a gap, and they eased off. And it was soon down to like 17 seconds within a couple of laps. And so at that point, it was off the table.
Yeah. But Max got right up to the back of George. He was able to stay out ahead of Lewis after their two pit stops, but George did a really, really great job at holding Max off on, you know, pretty much the whole entire race's fresher tires. You know, if anyone would be able to make a pass here, it would be either Max or, I guess, Bottas was able to do it. So there you go. And that was the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, I mean, Stroll had two overtakes. I'm looking up the stats here. There was four overtakes total. Bottas on Sargeant, Stroll on Joe, Stroll on Sargeant, and Sargeant on Joe. So that was it. The least number of overtakes since, I don't know. Well,
like 2 years ago when Gasly had the only overtake of a race?
I don't know.
I think it was like a rainy one.
2021 had zero overtakes.
Zero.
Two in 2019, four in 2018, three in 2017. Yikes. I mean, it's not good. What was that you were saying? That's the first race on the calendar again, Nick? Oh, man.
It's not about the overtaking, Monica. It's about the spectacle.
Clear. Oh, thank goodness it isn't. There isn't any. Yeah. You know, Australia had 24 overtakes. That's the next lowest this season. Saudi Arabia, 25.
24 is the second lowest.
Yeah, 24 was Australia, 25 Saudi Arabia. The most was China with 53 in China, apparently. 41 in Miami, 30 in Imola.
It doesn't feel like it's that many. That's crazy.
But they count like true overtakes. They don't count like team orders and stuff like that. Right. And lapping and unlapping, obviously. Yeah.
Well, Charles was finally able to not only podium at his home race, but win his home race. That was awesome.
I mean, that's great for Charles. I mean, we know that he lost his father to cancer right before he became a Formula One driver. So obviously being from Monaco, winning that Grand Prix, you know, at his third pole position there to finally convert it to a win.
But then also, hasn't he had like 14 poles since his last win or something?
Yeah, it's
crazy?
The first pole that he's converted into a win. And yeah, that's about that number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
even Prince Albert was in tears.
Yeah. Well, because I mean, he's from Monaco. I mean, there aren't many people from Monaco, and he wins the Monaco Grand Prix in a Ferrari. That's like, you could see he was tearing up a little bit there.
Yeah.
And he was spraying champagne on the podium and everything.
I think Carlos asked Charles if he was crying, and Charles said, yeah, I couldn't see for like the last two laps. And he's like talking to himself, like, pull yourself together, Charles. Not now. Don't do this now.
Did you notice how confused Charles looked when he turned around and saw Prince Albert spraying the champagne? He was like, am I supposed to spray this?
Spray him back? Yeah. Exactly. I unfortunately had to turn it off and go, but at that point,
he like didn't know what to do with himself.
So yeah, I mean, awesome. It was the Shanghai Formula E race that McLaren finished second in, and then McLaren finished second in the Monaco Grand Prix, and then Pato O'Ward finished second for McLaren in the Indy 500. It was a day of runner ups for McLaren,
and Rossi got third place in the Indy 500.
I didn't see the full race. I just watched the extended highlights this morning. Yeah. What a great end to that race with Newgarden coming around. You know,
that guy.
He lives up the street.
He's so vanilla, you know? Like, Joseph Newgarden is just like the most regular looking IndyCar driver ever. Ugh. He drives for Penske. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Formula One. Winners on the day, obviously Charles and Ferrari in general.
I mean, who doesn't love to see Fred Vasseur happy? He's just the most jovial Frenchman in the world. He's amazing. When you see him lifting the trophy up and all of that, you just feel happy just by seeing him happy.
He's had a couple of good weeks because he was in there celebrating with Lando, wasn't he? Previously,
yeah, he was spraying the champagne at the McLaren guys
now he gets to celebrate Charles and jump into the harbor, and it was great to see.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I mean, of course, we would have wanted to win the race, but McLaren, another great race for them. P2 and P4. I don't know if I should say this. I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, it's looking like we might have a season.
let's see. Let's see. I mean, you know, that's all we can do. But
we just have to hope. You know,
better than last year so far as mixing it up and teams being in with a shout, right? For sure.
Well,
I mean, and especially on the tracks where Red Bull aren't as, you know, for the ride height reasons, aren't going to be like slammed to the deck on a nice smooth surface. And then we go to Montreal next, which can be a little bumpy. Maybe they, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there to be made. But then once we get to Spain, I think is, you know, normal service will resume for the majority of the European season.
I mean, let's not forget, Verstappen has 5 wins to rest of the field's 3. So, you know, it's not like, yeah. What's that famous quote? Like, the reports of my demise have been severely exaggerated or something like that. Yeah, I'm not dead yet. I mean, Max, his post-race interview, I think he was talking with the interviewer, but also talking with George Russell. They were sort of spitballing ideas on how to make it more exciting. He said, me and George are going to go for a run, because that was just so...
Do it one lap on foot, right?
Yeah, it's like, mandatory pit stops. Yeah, 5 of them. One lap on foot. Other ways to make it more interesting. But yeah, he didn't hold back in his condemnation of what a boring afternoon it was for him. And by extension for the fans. But Charles wouldn't agree with him, obviously, and neither would the Ferrari fans. But
no.
Yeah.
All the McLaren fans for that reason as well.
But it was, I mean, like we said, qualifying, the order of qualifying is so important. And indeed, the people that qualified 1 through 10 finished 1 through 10 in that order. Nothing changed.
Which included Yuki.
Yes.
And Alex.
Alex Albon, yeah.
Yep. Pierre got P10.
Yeah.
Which was that their first point of the season?
No, I think they got a point last time out, because it was just Sauber and Williams, I think, that didn't have points at this stage. Yeah. Now,
and now it's just 2 points now. Yeah,
now Williams have got a couple of points on the board, so a good weekend. So
tied with that. Alpine.
Yeah, Alpine have 2, Williams have 2, Haas 7, and then RB with 24.
Yeah. So I mean, like losers. I mean, you got to put, I guess, Red Bull is losers with Max only in P6 and Checo. Car getting destroyed. Yeah. I mean, totally. They must have ruined every single part. Like
that, you gotta throw that one in the bin, I guess. That's
gone. Yeah. And Haas obviously like showed promise, and then due to, you know, one mistake took out both cars, and couldn't convert any of that promise into points. So with that, you know, the screw up on the rear wing. Just all went away. So maybe they have a fart with it, because they've been in the mix for sure the past few races, so they've got something going on there, but not this weekend.
No. Aston Martin, obviously, like Martin, you said earlier, I mean, we probably just shouldn't even expect them. They're not it's not like the top 5 anymore, I guess. It's the top 4, and then there's the group of RB and Aston Martin fighting together for 5th place,
with Haas and Alpine maybe closing the gap.
Alcon just, you know, doing what he did on
I mean they're talking about sitting in for Canada. That's a massive call to do that, but you know, it'd be more of a punishment for him and the team, because I don't know who they would bring in, but
Jack Doohan, I think, is the person who's at the races, right? Because then there was they had their other reserve driver there as well, but Jack Doohan, I think, is the one who'd sit in there, I think.
What if they just bring like Seb in for one race? You know, he definitely speaks French. He speaks so many languages. Like, he must. He'd be fine. And I guess Danny's a loser on the weekend, just because he got beat out by Yuki, who got points.
Yeah, again. I mean, that's it. Yuki, how many points finishes this season? 5, maybe?
Yeah.
And when you think about Danny Ric, since his, I think it's like 15 races into his comeback now, and he's had 1 points finish.
Yeah, it's, nobody's really talking about him anymore. Everybody was so excited to see him back, but yeah, he's become a non-entity almost at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have
to. You can see it on his face as well. You can see when he's being interviewed, you can see he's down again, like he was at McLaren.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get why it's not working for him. And, I bet he wishes he was still at McLaren.
He'll probably be in IndyCar by the end of this season or the start of next season. He likes America, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He loves America. Loves a race at COTA, doesn't he?
Or NASCAR. I've heard him talk. He likes NASCAR. Maybe he would do that. Who knows? And, well, that was really it for the Monaco Grand Prix. Martin, you want to fill us in on what happened?
Little Coupes F1 updates? Yeah, so, I mean, a tough race to call, obviously, now that Max isn't up at first and we can't predict the 1, 2, 3, 4. Points are a little depressed. 233 was the top score this week by Go Nuts, and our very own Prancing to First, the podcast zone, second this week with 222 points, with Little Warrior behind 215. In the overall standings, top three remain exactly the same. Heatley, SJC, and Jonathan. But again, yeah, Prancing to First, the podcast zone, is 18 spaces up to fourth. So nice. Very relevant. Great moves by him. Got to start scrolling. Nick, you lost two spots. Lost
a couple of spots, yeah.
Prediction consensus, the strong, the group bot dropping seven spots, not unsurprising, I guess, with Verstappen being so low and the guys being mixed up a bit. Where did I? I'm 88, up four spots. Not too bad. Your nemesis, Mark Cooper, dropped two spots, Jason.
My nemesis?
I don't know. You always ask where she. You always ask how she's doing. but nine spots.
She's who I look up to do better.
There you go. She's your, your mentor, maybe.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I lost out massively on having Oscar down in seventh and Fernando in third. That's my two horror picks there.
Yeah, Fernando.
So 0 points for Fernando, 0 points for Checo. I'd put as eighth.
Yeah, but 2 weeks till, is it 2 weeks till Canada?
2 weeks till Canada.
A race that, one of the few races that I've been to a couple of times. A lot of fun, a great city. Maybe we can do a group trip if we get our stuff organized.
That would be fun.
It'll be always be fun. I got some old photos. Maybe I'll send you some old photos, Jason, from like 2008 of me and of Nick and I. We look exactly the same, Nick. Not changed.
Oh, good. Yeah.
We usually get some pretty decent racing in Canada, right? There's at least the one long straight.
Yeah, with the hairpin turn, you get a little bit of overtaking. The Waller champions can take people out as you come onto the start finish straight. Definitely going to be more overtakes than Monaco. That is
I think we can guarantee that to our listeners.
Exactly.
And you can go sit in the Lance Stroll stand. For all of his wonderful achievements.
Oh, one thing we didn't mention, I think Nick, you were the first. Nick, somebody sent it around. Was it in the FP2 race? Where
in the F2 in the tunnel, race, yeah, in the tunnel.
There was a car was going super slow on the inside of the tunnel, and the car came around the corner. Most people, if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out. But the reaction times of that driver to miss the back of the car at full speed were unbelievable. Yeah.
I saw it. It doesn't get any easier to miss. Every time you watch it, Isaac Hadjar, he's the Red Bull junior driver in F2. It was flashing yellow, so he knew that there was something that he needed to avoid somewhere up ahead.
Right.
But just to kind of go around the corner and the car is suddenly there. And honestly, how he goes around it. And misses the car and doesn't stack it into the barriers as well.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Yeah, it was amazing.
Did you see how that race ended, the F2 race?
No, don't tell me. I've got to still watch it. Was it good? Probably not. Is it Monaco? but you can tell me.
You will not expect it. Okay. You want to hear? You want me to tell you? No? Yes?
what happened, Jason? Tell me.
All right.
Tell our listeners. Right.
So... Hadjar, the guy that he was talking about, was pretty much winning the whole time, but there was one guy, Jack O'Sullivan, who stayed out just in the case of a safety car. So he waited until the very last opportunity to pit and then came in on whatever the second to last lap when you have to. He entered the pits, and as he's entering the pits, somebody crashed, which brought out a virtual safety car.
Oh, sorry. All right.
because you can't enter the pits. You can't enter the pits with the virtual safety car, but he was already in the entrance to the pit. So he got out in front. You would have been like 13. He started in 15th place and won the race.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Nick, if you don't want to know the score, look away from your screen now.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to add? I mean,
no.
I don't think there is much else to go on.
Southampton won. If you were at the end,
Southampton, yes.
Southampton won.
I was gonna text you. I was gonna text how the nerves were holding up, but I thought, no, I don't want to jinx it. I'd seen you'd gone 1-0 up, and a 1-0 lead is lead, but you don't want to stay there.
I didn't even celebrate the goal because it was VAR and it was an offside kind of. It wasn't offside, it was clearly onside, but you never know with VAR, right? So, and then they confirm the goal, but it was only Lynn and I in a pub down the shore with a bunch of Leeds fans. It was good. It was a good day. So it's going to be a tough season next season, but I'll take it.
Yeah. And take the cash windfall for moving into the Premier League.
Take the cash, the exposure, everything that goes with it. You know, it was.
But you need to spend all of that to try and even stay there, right? I mean, it's like it makes you a ton of money, but you've then got to really spend probably more than that just to try and compete. So
I don't want to talk to any Leeds fans because. You know, I didn't mind this season in the Championship. It was good. We won a lot of games. It was fun to watch. It's fun to win, right? Even if you are in the Championship. But to go through the whole season like Leeds did and do as well as they did and not get promoted must feel like a real gut punch and like you got to start all over again. You know,
did they finish third? Did they?
They finished third and didn't go up. And I think
the team that finishes third rarely goes up, though.
I think in all the playoff finals, the team that finished lower. Out of the two teams, one. Do you know what? Here's a stat I saw. The last Leeds player to score a goal at Wembley, and they've been in a lot of playoff finals. The last player from Leeds to score a goal at Wembley, Eric Cantona.
No way. Really? I was going to go like Robbie Fowler or someone like that. And we've totally lost both of our listeners.
Yeah, 1991 or something. Yeah. I don't know. You probably weren't even alive, Jason, were you?
I was not.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Almost, but not quite.
Almost. Yeah. Eric Cantona. Yeah. There you go.
And on that bombshell.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Monaco Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the Canadian Grand Prix. Thanks again.